You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
Got the old first marriage question yesterday.
Oh, yeah? What do you got?
Wheeled into a late movie down in Etobicoke called Hustlers. Or I don't know.
Hustle or something.
With J-Lo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then on the way out, it was like, what's your peeler move? Like, what? I don't even know how the question was phrased, but it was like, you go to peeler joints? And I'm like, no, I don't. And I said, I will tell you this. I used to go every day.
Every day?
Oh, it was
when,
lunch.
When you were playing in the NHL, you mean? Or
oh, I mean,
as a grown adult?
As a grown adult.
20 to 27. It's lunch, peel, nap. Like, it's not
so
funny.
So you're talking about North Carolina? Or was this happening in King City? And
There's no peel in King City. There's nothing.
Right.
It's you wake up, practice, do your best in the NHL, wings, beers, peel, nap, and then dinner somewhere. I don't know. That's the way the routine was.
That's a pretty pathetic lifestyle. In retrospect. Every single day.
What was yours? You ate pizza? You woke up at 4 in the afternoon? You were a pig?
Well, you're in college. He probably smoked weed.
Yeah, so what's wrong with that?
Smoking weed is the same as having a beer nowadays.
I'm not saying I was living some incredible lifestyle, but I wasn't knocking on the door waiting for them to open up the peel.
What was the name of the peel club or whatever? We looked at the menu. There was cheese and crackers on it.
That was the Beef Baron down in London. Yes. Yes, a very reputable establishment. Watch what you say about
that. I would never talk
that type
poorly
of spot.
About them.
You know what? I wonder what's going on out in Newfoundland, because I've noticed now, like, the media is trying to make a push that this should become an annual event, because they're all at the bar every single night.
Getting screeched in.
Every single night, these guys are out there absolutely blackout, and they love it, because if camp was in Toronto, they'd have to go home.
Yeah.
So their wives and their kids and, you know, their husbands and all that, everyone would be waiting for them. And they'd have
responsibility. You wonder, though, if like a single media member, like, was just renting an Airbnb and his, like, neighbor was, like, some knockout. And it's like, man, hope we come back here next year.
Well, I wasn't getting that impression. I don't think it had anything to do with meeting locals. I think it had everything to do
having the time of their lives.
With just going out every single night.
But being embraced.
Being on George.
Now, being embraced by the locals, the city, it sounds like it's sold out.
I asked him yesterday, why aren't we there? We're going next year.
I don't want to go. I go out there. I mean, it's a
beautiful
place.
I've never been in Newfoundland. I would love to go.
It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. I don't want to stand there around.
It's complicated.
And
so we're not going.
I mean, we can.
I don't think the Leafs are going. Like, the Leafs are not committed to doing anything next year.
They're going to Ottawa. They're going to Canada next
year. They should be in Ottawa next year. That's where they should have
comment.
Camp.
Don't say that.
They should have camp in Ottawa.
But he said, if we wanted to be ignorant, or if they wanted to, if they wanted to be ignorant and arrogant, they would go to another city that has an NHL team.
An incredible move. Yeah. If you set up shop in, like, Winnipeg for 2 weeks, just to see what kind of reaction you could get.
That I wouldn't do that. That city has a reputation. There's some people that can back it up physically. I wouldn't want that.
What, are they going to storm Mike Babcock?
There would be brawls. Like, I know the fans would get into brawls. That one I know.
I wonder how the NHL would feel about that.
Well, they wouldn't.
Like, I know it's a dumb hypothetical,
yeah,
but I feel like
ridiculous.
Batman would have to be like, you can't do that. You can't go to Winnipeg or Edmonton. Like, the locals are going to storm. There's going to be fights.
Yeah,
there's going to be fights.
There would be fist fights.
Any Leaf fan walking around town, it'll be considered a major infraction.
Like, what if the Montreal Canadiens won the Stanley Cup training camp downtown Boston? It's like,
oh, yeah. Yeah, you're not doing that. There's no way you're doing
but
that.
Okay, but, like, let's flip this script here. What if Montreal, the Habs, who have a massive following, decided to do something in Markham?
I would salute them for that kind of
move. No, you wouldn't.
No, I would.
You would not.
I would salute them.
I swear to you, they would have a peaceful process.
I really don't think Toronto would overreact.
Really? I think
Toronto doesn't have that inferiority complex.
Dude, we grew up here. How many families down in the basement, Montreal fans. Upstairs, Toronto fans.
Yes, you always
all of the Montreal so Canadian got, fans yeah, so would be in like Markham, and they would visit
coexisting
that
existing piece. Then that's what you would say,
right? I mean, we have an inferiority complex when it comes to American teams,
right?
But not Canadian teams. I really don't think. I think if the Habs came through Ottawa, people would be like, "Go ahead." Like, there's still more Leaf fans, and the Leafs are practicing downtown. We're tracking
that.
If
the Edmonton Oilers went to Woodbridge and had training camp, there would be a ton of people.
Well, it would be cool.
People
want
to go see McDavid.
If it was in Newmarket, like his hometown, that would be very cool. There'd be a ton of people that would show up.
But it would be just nice. Like, I mean, we'll get away from this, but it'd be nice if they had an exhibition game between the Maple Leafs and the Oilers in Newmarket.
They should at
that
some
would be
point.
Cool.
That would be very at some cool.
Because we don't get to see them enough.
He plays here once a year.
You don't get to see McDavid enough, really. When you're looking at the face of the NHL, he's out here once. He does the swing, and if it doesn't go well, or if they play the night before, sometimes it's not scheduled. Wasn't it on a Monday night once, and Curtis McIlhenny played that night?
That's right. It
stopped
was a Monday 41.
Night. They won 1-0. To me, that's. And I know you can't just hand pick it, but when you have the face of the NHL playing in a massive market like this, it should probably be propped up. It should be a Saturday night game. It should be a marquee game, not a Monday night. And I know the Oilers are at a different level right now, but it's still him.
When he plays in Eastern Canada,
he moves the needle.
He should be playing Montreal on a Saturday night. Right. He should be playing the Maple Leafs on a Saturday night. Absolutely.
But marquee nights.
Yep. Marquee nights. That's what he deserves, especially when he rolls through the East. We only get to see him once.
Right.
And there was hockey preseason action tonight. The Browns got a big win last night. I didn't forget that about that. There's a Brown back that's in the house. You want it right now?
It has to go down on TV/radio.
It's literally the 100 that you gave me last week. We're just going to filter this back and forth because now we're even through 2 weeks.
See, but I.
But it's something weird. Like when you get it, you're so ahead.
But I like.
Like you have the chance to give me another one next week.
Why is there no pettiness? Why isn't it crumpling it
I
up
don't
and
know.
Sliding
I
it over?
Or,
you don't do that though. Like just simple.
It's all class.
It's class.
I don't like that.
It's all class until one of us really get deep in the hole,
exactly.
And then it's going to be really ugly in here.
What do you got next week?
I like the Bears on the road in Washington, but we got all week to talk about
we'll
that.
Talk about that.
There's a lot of NFL stories. Like Baker Mayfield was brutal last night. Mayfield was awful. He got saved by Odell Beckham Jr.
It's almost like he acts like he's like Brett Favre, but nobody catches his passes. Like what?
He was terrible last night. He was. He like they're acting like it was a big win, and a win is a win in the NFL. But that New York Jet team is pathetic. Yeah. This is how pathetic they are. The Miami Dolphins are in Dallas on Sunday. They are 21.5-point underdogs.
Dogs, yeah.
The Jets are in New England. They're 22.5. They are a bigger underdog. The Jets are a bigger dog in New England than Miami is in Dallas. And Miami just traded their first-round pick from 2018 in Minkah Fitzpatrick to Pittsburgh. I mean, this league doesn't make any sense right now. Pittsburgh's 0-2. Roethlisberger's done for the year, and they just traded a first-round pick. And
I think
here's why I support the move. I think they look at teams like Miami and New York. They're like, we're better
gone.
Than that.
Yeah, they're gone.
They're not. Pittsburgh is not finishing with a top 3 or 4 pick.
Right.
Fitzpatrick, he just got drafted like 11th overall last year, and they loved him last year. So I think they're looking at it saying, we're going to be trying to pick that player at the draft next year. He's available now. Let's get him.
Right.
And I think it's a message to his team. That's a proud market, a proud organization. Yeah, we're down 0-2 right now, but we're not mailing this season in.
Right. We're going to at least try and salvage it.
I support that.
So
in the era of
that.
Tanking, I kind of support what Tomlin and the Steelers are trying to accomplish down there.
But didn't you think with Big Ben in the lineup that they could be or close to a playoff team?
Absolutely. I thought they would be. I thought they'd win the AFC North.
Right. So, I mean, why wouldn't you, with Big Ben out, try and start moving some deck chairs around to get people in there?
Conventional wisdom would suggest they should do that.
But why wouldn't you if you have the
team? Why would you move deck chairs around if you lose Ben,
Brown,
Antonio Brown, and Le'Veon Bell? Like,
Those are the deck chairs in many ways. Yeah. I mean, those are the guys who have already moved on.
Are you going to send a message to the fans saying, oh, yeah, we can kind of make some trades here? No. It's every league.
Trying.
It's about the star players. They go out there and they win you games. They might lose you games, but that's who wins you games. Like,
yeah, Pittsburgh's not good enough to – they're not competing for a Super Bowl or anything
like
that.
So why make a trade?
Well, again, like I said, I think they like the player. Like, he went 11th overall in 2018. This isn't a flyer on a 30-year-old that you're just plugging. They think this guy's going to play for them for seven or eight years.
They just advance the clock a little bit instead of drafting that same player a year from now.
Exactly. Yeah. And they like him.
Miami's
they targeted him. And
it,
next year when Ben returns, if he does return, they're going to try to – you know, rev it back up again.
Yeah.
But look at this over the last 24 days. Mike Florio tweeted this out. Starting quarterbacks in the NFL from 24 days ago who are currently or not starting. Sam Darnold, Ben Roethlisberger, Nick Foles, Andrew Luck, Eli Manning, Drew Brees, and maybe Cam Newton. Cam was not at practice today. Like, look
That's
at
crazy.
Those names, man. Darnold, Roethlisberger, Foles, Luck, Manning, Brees, Newton, that's like 25%
but
of
that
the starters
opens up.
In football.
Doesn't that open up a lot of like teams going, okay, we can double down here. If we're an average team, we're going to push through. If you're Buffalo, you're thinking, okay, I'm feeling pretty good about
Buffalo's got to be thinking.
Buffalo's thinking 4-0 against Miami and the Jets. If they can steal a game against New England, they're in a really
good
spot.
They're looking good.
And even if they don't, you still go 4-2 against your division.
Yeah.
And the other 10 games, you got to go.
Flip a coin.
Yeah, you got to go 6-4 and you're in.
Yeah.
Maybe 5-5 and you're in the AFC. So the Bills are in a pretty decent spot, but there's been a lot of activity in the NFL this week. I mean, the past couple of days have just been bedlam. So we'll touch on that later in the afternoon. Ray Ferraro is coming up. Ray is in St. John's calling the game on TSN 4 tonight. He'll join us in about 20 minutes. We have the game for you on radio, so we're out of here at 5:30. Joe Bowen will join us from the rink in St. John's at around 5:05. This Patrick Laine story
seems to be
a fascinating one for me.
Well, it seems to be, I mean, last year it seemed like there was smoke and some fire. I think I even said this on the show where you have to go and trade for Matt Hendricks at the deadline like that. You're not trading for the player. You're trading for the personality, the calming presence. It seemed like there was a massive disconnect between older and new in that dressing room and in that organization. Sounds like that's what it is. It sounds like Patrick Laine needs his ass kicked and needs to grow up.
He comes off as soft as butter. Soft as butter.
So don't you, like, sniff around and say, what do you want?
Well,
and I said last week on That's Hockey with Gino, it's like, you can't trade him. He's the next Ovechkin.
Well, that's right. He's 50 goals. Like, that's 50 goals.
That's what he is. He's 50-goal guy.
But at what cost? And how does that...
But if he's spouting off saying,
Well, let me read this quote.
Who I play with, and like, I don't pick that. And
Let me read this quote. This is a guy, 50-goal guy, had 50 points a year ago. 50 points.
Yeah.
Looked lazy a lot of times last year. And is coming off as unlikable, quite frankly. If I'm in Winnipeg, I'm starting to wonder, A, if he wants to be here.
Okay, I agree
B,
with
if
that.
He's got it. But here's what he said. Laine was talking with a media outlet in Finland, and he said, quote, and this was in Finnish.
Right.
So it might have been the old. It's not going to get. No, it might have been the old. It'll stay here, right? It's not going to be Google Translate and make it back to Canada. Well, it did. This is what Laine said. Quote, when you're having contract negotiations, one thing always is, who are you playing with? With the merits I have, somewhere else I'd have an opportunity to play with the best players. Everybody who understands hockey knows that. There are top lines, and then there is our line. But I play with the guys I'm told to play with, end quote.
That is a damning comment, by the way.
That's basically saying Brian Little's a plug, and I can't believe I got to play with this guy.
Yeah. That's right. Like, and Nikolai Ehlers.
Mm-hmm. And those are
It's like Scheifele or Wheeler or nothing.
But that's... I don't mind saying I want to play with... I mean, we went through this here in Toronto. By all accounts, it was Austin saying, okay, move one player off my line. We don't know, potentially. John Tavares signs here. I want to play with Mitch Marner. Like, you have a wish list. I don't
but
disagree
But not publicly.
With that. Exactly.
That's the difference.
That's the difference, is this guy is not in a position to be making demands. Now, he's... We have to be careful. 50 points on a dreadful season. This is a guy who scored 33 years in a row in his sleep. Like this, you know, 44, 36, and 30. Like this guy, if he matures, which at some point he's going to grow up. Like we forget they're just young kids and everyone arrives at a different spot. He's going to look back and say, yeah, I think I did some things poorly. That's where it's up to that group and that leadership group in Winnipeg to go, hey, we're going to try and show you the way here. And I'm sure there were probably potentially a couple code reds involved there because this kid doesn't seem to get it.
Well, Blake Wheeler is bending over backwards to convince them that they love him, support him, and...
Guy scored on himself 2 years ago. Blake Wheeler was right there, his arm around him.
Right.
You guys remember that? That one-timer into the net?
Edmonton.
But who knows what's going on behind the scenes? Only Laine knows that, the Jets and all that. But to publicly go out and be like, I can't believe I'm playing with these guys.
Poor judgment.
Anywhere else, I'd be on a top line, but I guess I have to do this. Look yourself in the mirror. 50 points.
That would be exit. Like, you're gone.
I don't think they're going to do that, but...
That's the one thing. You got to be careful.
You got to be careful because you don't want to just get rid of a talent because you're spiteful.
You know what it's like to go back into a locker room. How is it going to be like bringing him back into a locker room?
That's going to be tough. That has to be tough.
Like I just said the comment, tough to bring him back. Look at that dynamic. Bringing him back and looking at Brian Little saying, oh, what, you can't play with me?
Well,
you don't want to?
You're right. But like, are you gonna...
a big thing, man.
Do you not expect within a day there will be a retraction going
lost? I didn't say that. I would suspect.
The Louis Erickson retraction.
I never buy that. I never buy that.
No, this
I
is the
you
real
said
comment.
It and you meant it and stop it.
This
I
is
agree.
The real comment right here.
But I'm just saying I believe there will be some maneuvering PR to get around that. Because
probably.
You're right. You don't want to walk back. If he ends up signing tomorrow, you've got to walk back in that dress room and go, hey, you know,
yeah, Brian
sorry,
Little,
Nikolai,
how's it
sorry,
going?
Brian, like, you know what?
Nikolai Ehlers, how's it going? I'm your right winger.
And those guys are, like, that Ehlers is a really good player. He's a 60-point guy. Like, he's a good player. Like, they didn't put him with Matt Hendricks on the fourth line. They should have at times because of his effort, because of his dedication to defense. There were times where I think Paul Maurice was with kid gloves with him, trying to bring him along, build up his confidence. It's a real spicy meatball because this guy is in the right scenario.
He's uber talented.
But at what point do you go, "We this isn't working"?
There are some red flags. Like he's got kind of a nonchalant attitude to begin with, or he pushes that on people. It feels that way. And now he's like, why am I playing with these guys? I could be a number one player anywhere else in the league or on a number one line. These are dangerous comments. And he's still negotiating.
Right.
He's still negotiating a new deal with Winnipeg, but we'll see where that relationship goes. Speaking of goal scorers, two big goal scorers in the league have birthdays today. Matthews turning 22. He won't play tonight. He'll play in Ottawa. And if I'm him, I want to play in Ottawa every chance I can after his debut. And Ovi turning 34. Ray Ferraro will join us in about 5-7 minutes. I have a hypothetical for him. Well, it's more of a prediction, really.
Yeah? What do you got?
Over the next 3 years, who do you think is going to score more goals? Matthews or Ovechkin?
Matthews.
Ovechkin. All Ovi does is score goals.
I know. I have a tough time picking anyone but Ovi.
That's no slight on Austin.
No.
Ovechkin scores in his sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Every night.
34 years old. But
that's what I think. I just think sometimes 34 in a month, all of a sudden, things start.
Yeah, but the one thing is power plays aren't going anywhere. Ovi's. Do you see Ovi?
No, he just stands there and he rips home one time.
But do you see Ovi? The guy's 200 and what? 40?
He claims 260.
Yeah, the guy took a puck in the face. The other went in the playoffs and just looked like it was like a dandelion bouncing off his.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Matthews just because I'm thinking.
I'll take that.
The wheels got to fall off sometime.
Well, even if they slow down a little bit, I think Matthews has the ability to just pass them based on who he is as well.
Guy hasn't had a healthy season in 2 years
and
either.
And that is something that comes up very often.
It should.
It should be. Yeah, he hasn't played 82 games.
If he plays 82, he can get 40 and get 40 plus.
Well, I think he can get 40. He's done 40 before. I mean, he's shown that ability
when
to score 40.
He played the full season.
Yeah, no, but you just said if he hits 82, he can score 40. I think he can score 40 at... That's a pretty safe bet. for me.
Yeah.
I mean, 5-on-5, he's got the best numbers in the league.
Right.
But that's where Ovi
are prorated because he hasn't played. Like, that hasn't played a full season in 2 years.
Right.
That's my only concern.
Oh, it's a factor. There's no denying that.
I look at durability. Ovi doesn't miss games. That's what I'm – the guy scores in his sleep on the power play and doesn't miss games.
Yeah, until you dethrone the king, I can't bet against him either. I think he's just going to keep – at some point he's going to tail, but he might tail to like 38,
right?
35.
You said cumulatively.
Accumulatively looking over the next 3.
And he was asked the other day about Gretzky, and he's like – he basically – I think he said, I have no interest. Like,
well, he blew
that. I'm going to do what I want to do and –
But his actions will, I mean, he's going to go out there and score goals.
It's 240 goals, though, that he needs, isn't it?
But he's got to have a big 3-year period.
Right.
Like, if he wants to get there.
That.
No, I know, but he can't tail off starting this year. Like, he's got a pot, I would say, 120 over the next 3 years.
You think he's going to have 350 goal years in a row?
No.
I don't think so, but why would you be shocked by anything this guy does in terms of goal
numbers.
Scoring?
That's what he has to do.
No, I know. I'm not saying he's going to break it in the next 3 years.
No,
I'm saying he's got to keep scoring the next 3 years.
He's got to score consistently for the next 6 years.
Right.
Until he's 40.
But, like, dominate while he's still kind of in his prime.
Exactly.
And then maybe tail off.
And then tail off and have a 28-goal season.
Right.
Or 38, 39.
Exactly.
But, you're right. Age is a very interesting thing because at what point does the wheels fall off?
Well, we'll see what Ray has to say about that.
When are we going to look at video and say, this guy looks like he's can't play anymore.
No reason to believe it's going to happen.
He scored
this season.
9 goals in the first 4 games last year.
He won the Rocket
fire.
Again last year.
But
he's the heavy favorite to win it again this year, and he should be. We'll ask Ray about that, and I've got another prediction, Maple Leaf prediction. We'll lay on the line for Ray leading into the first preseason game tonight. We'll head out to St. John's a couple of times this afternoon. Ray Ferraro at 4:30. Joe Bowen at 5:05. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, the Maple Leafs begin their preseason tonight in St. John's. You can hear the game right here on TSN Radio starting at 5:30 and watch it on TSN 4 tonight. Gord Miller's on his way out. Or I believe he's already there. And Ray finally made his way to St. John's from Vancouver to St. John's.
Short little trek.
Just, across the second largest country in the world.
Well, like he
all
said,
good.
It was closer. Hawaii's closer than St. John's.
That puts it into perspective.
Hawaii.
Hawaii is in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
Closer.
And it's closer to Vancouver.
Well, it's a 5-hour flight. I believe it's 5 hours to Maui or Waikiki from Vancouver. I've done it a few times. And I believe it's, 5 to Toronto and then another hour and a half?
Oh, it's
half
more than that. It's
to Newfoundland?
Oh, it's 3 hours to Newfoundland.
Is it 3?
Yeah, it's 2.5 to Halifax.
Yeah.
2.5.
But you lose the time, too.
Yeah, they're an hour and a half.
I flew to PEI this in June. I can't remember how long that flight was. And then you lose some time, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's great out there. It's beautiful.
Oh, it's God's country.
Is that what they call it?
That's what they basically call anywhere that isn't a city is, it's God's country. Okay.
There's some water there.
A little bit of water. Just an ocean.
It's all good.
It's all good. Is Ray there? No? Oh, Ray's going to be a problem. The grappler basically just waved me off.
Said no chance.
Like I was a catcher trying to come out for a mound visit. No, stay back there, you peasant. So we'll see about
Ray. Maybe Ray's frustrated already.
He could be, or maybe he knows I'm going to fire a couple of one-timers at him with the predictions.
He's already pissed that his Nexus is like...
I don't understand. Why do you need a Nexus when you're traveling in Canada?
I don't know.
Did he say online
that he was like...
I saw that, but I think that was... Somebody chirped him saying that's your first... Like, you don't need to go across the border, but you do. You can go in the Nexus line as far as through security.
That's a big bonus.
But Ray, I would argue, is probably because he travels so much, he's a super elite for Air Canada. There's a line for that. So it's the same as Nexus. So he could have gone in that. He's not going in the peasant line.
I love that peasant line. I'm always in that line.
I travel too much. I can't be in there.
I don't have a Nexus, and I guess I probably could or I should. I go to the States a few times a year, but I got no problem with being with the people.
I'm a man of the people, I believe.
Oh, you think so?
Well, you think I'm not?
I don't know if you're in, highfalutin with the Nexus people. And
I think it's called efficient traveler.
What does it cost to go in the VIP line, even if you're not like anything.
Well, an Nexus.
Can you pay like Air Canada something like $50,000 a year to say I want to go in that line and that's it?
No.
Just buy business class on your flights. That'll put you in that line.
Yeah. Oh. $50,000 a year for a,
to be in the non-peasant line?
To move past a bigger line. We've got Ray out in St. John's ahead of the big game tonight, the first preseason game of the season for the Maple Leafs on TSN 4, and he joins us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here is our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro, and podcaster.
Yes.
What's up, Ray?
Yeah, lots going on, I guess. Drakes and I are going to start a podcast. We've been in working on it for about a month now, like kind of the final details, and we're going to it's just called the Ray and Drakes Podcast. There's a teaser out, a 20-minute episode called, it's episode zero. I don't know what the hell it's episode zero for. I mean, it should be episode one. But anyway, they call it episode zero. You can download it and subscribe. And then starting October 1st, we'll be out once a week. And got some pretty cool guests lined up and some awesome sort of tricks and things that we're going to do in it. So we think it'll be a lot of fun.
Well, don't steal our hypothetical bits. Because we need you raging on this show.
He's doing a yes guy, no guy on his podcast.
No, I
you can't do
no
yes guy, no guy.
There will be no yes guy, no guy. You guys may know Drakes has a term when somebody bugs him that he says he's going to throat punch him. And so we will have a throat punch segment.
The karate chop.
That's great.
And so we'll have a like a fantasy thing. Like you can pick your teams and compete for prizes, and we'll have, you know, like I said, we'll have some, you know, Drakes is pretty soundly connected, so we'll have some great guests, and we'll pop out of the chute on the 1st of October, but there's always plenty to be aggravated. As you were touching on, with no Nexus card, I'm sure at some point I will be somewhat aggravated in a line that I had to go stand in for 2.5 hours early because I don't have a Nexus card.
But I was saying, I'm sure you're super elite, and there's a line you can weasel in that side, is there not?
Yeah, there is for in Canada, for domestic.
Yes.
Like flying into the States, however, they don't really care if I fly a lot in Canada.
Correct.
I see.
And that is the real issue, which wouldn't be an issue except October the 4th, I'm in Columbus, and well, then I got an issue.
How greasy is it when, like, just elite guy looks over at super elite, like, is he thinking, what are you doing that I'm not?
They're going to look over at me standing in that line. People will be, like, asking. I guarantee, hey, how come you don't have a Nexus? I applied for one in May. Yeah. I'm no further along.
Do you think Brian Little wants to throat punch Patrick Laine?
I think this could be the early throat punch of the season.
Yeah.
Now, does it not sound like this is, you know, I mean, without knowing how the contract negotiations go, but pretty clearly they're not getting very, very far along the road with Connor and certainly Laine. Laine seems to be, for me, the one that is the hardest to get your head around how they could come to a conclusion, because he's really sure about himself. He had a crappy year and scored 30 goals. He's a 50-goal scorer someday in this league for sure. And he probably wants to be paid like one for a longer term. And the Jets are like, you can assume, are going, wait a minute, we're not going to give you this crazy long-term deal. They probably don't even want to get into some of the numbers that are going on right now with some of the shorter-term RFAs. And then Laine comes out and says, yeah, if I were with another team, I'd be playing with the best players. Well, I did 10 Jets games last year, and there are many nights that he looks like he's tugging a sled behind him. He's either not interested, lazy, not committed that night. I'm not sure, because then there are other nights you watch him and you go, holy crap, this guy's going to score every game. Like, he's so big and he shoots it so well. So I can't imagine Brian Little, his centerman, was very enthused with that evaluation that Laine gave in the finished papers.
Oh, it's pretty tough to walk back in that locker room, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I wonder if he's just agitating for a move.
That wouldn't shock me. I mean, that's trade request without a formal request 101.
You know, I don't. As you mentioned, Ole, like, could you imagine? You basically just shredded everyone else on the roster.
No, I wouldn't play with that guy, Ray. I would say, you know what? I'm not good enough for you. Now I want out because I'm not doing this.
Mark Scheifele and Blake Wheeler are the only two guys that really should be considered off of that list. I guess maybe Kyle Connor too, but for the most part, he basically said everybody else is tugging me down here. I thought it was a really, really odd thing to say if you have intention of spinning your wheels back to Winnipeg. Like, this is going to be a tough one to wallpaper over, even if they come up with the money, even if they figure out a way to get it done. And isn't it amazing how quick things change? Winnipeg's got all these prospects. They've got all this bright future, and all of a sudden it's come apart. You know, their defense is cut in half this summer. They've got Line A and Connor out. And, man, the salary cap got the Jets before the Jets got them.
Who do you think will have more goals over the next three seasons, Austin Matthews or Alex Ovechkin?
Ooh. God, I hate picking against Ovechkin because he seems to get 50 every year. I mean, he's got to slow down eventually, doesn't he? Like, maybe?
I don't know.
44 to 121. You know, I'm going to take Matthews, but I don't really feel that strongly about it. Like, I think over the next 3 years, I think they'll be in the 130 range, those guys, in the next 3 years.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of goals, man.
Yeah. And I think they're going to both score a lot, right? Like, so I don't see why can't Matthews get 50 goals? Why can't Ovechkin get 50? You get 15 on the power play every year. So you get 150 and a couple of 40s, and that's kind of how I quickly came up with that number. But, I don't know. Would you throw McDavid in there too?
Well, yeah, you could. I mean, we brought up Matthews and Ovi because it's their birthday today. But McDavid is a guy that he is you look at – you know, future bets in Vegas and stuff, he's always in the top two or three.
I think he's more just run away with points.
He's going to score points, but...
This is just flat-out goal scoring.
Remember Sid, it took him a while, then all of a sudden he scored 50?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, that's an interesting... Like, McDavid, he gets three breakaways a night.
Yeah.
He could score 50. Why can't he?
Well, the leading goal scorer of all time says he's not a goal scorer.
Right.
You know, except he had, you know, 8 million goals, and... So I don't know. I don't think it's going to get easier to score, but it seems like these players generate quality chances that should put them into a position to finish. Like I think there's not going to be 10 guys that score 50 goals, right? Those days are long gone. The goalies are too good. The schemes defensively are too good. But I don't see them. Like, why shouldn't they get 40? I think they should. And that gets you in that range, that it, you know, the 130 range for the next three.
Well, with Matthews, it's really about durability and if he's going to play. And this is going to sound weird and probably wrong and ultimately incorrect. But in a way, I feel more confident that Ovechkin is going to score 40 because I think that's just a lock. He's scoring 40. But I feel like Matthews has a better chance at scoring 50 because I think if he's healthy –
yeah, health is a factor. I think, Ray, like, I believe in Austin Matthews. It's just health. He's been nicked up the last couple of years where Ovi is just, he can get hit by a bus, and, like, they check the bus.
Yeah.
Like,
he just runs over people. Like,
and he sets up
the
track.
Year last year was like, okay, is this guy going to slow down? Just stepped over the blue line and, like, ripping wrist shots.
He's been scoring the same goal for 13 years.
There was a time, though, guys, where we thought he was done. He had 32 one year, and we were like, this guy, now the end is, you know, the legs are starting to catch up with Ovi. And then I think he had 38 and 32.
There was a time we thought he was done. He won the Hart Trophy the same year.
You're right. That was a shortened year. I remember arguing with Glenn Sheeler because the first 6 weeks of that season, he may as well have been using broom ball shoes on the ice.
Yeah.
Because he was running around out there like a lunatic, and he looked slow and sluggish, and then he just dominated the rest of that season.
Yep.
Well, so back to Matthews then. So I think last year he had 16 points in the first 10 games, something like that, yeah. And then he missed 31 days.
Yeah.
And then the season is a catch up again, and really it comes to health, right? And you know, and can you avoid the knock that puts you out a month? And you know, I think that's really going to be part of the story, not just with Matthews, but with the Leafs this season, as you sit there and try to figure out, you know, how they're going to make everybody and everything fit in the cap. They're certainly not going to be carrying 23 players on the roster, right? They're just not going to have the cap room. And so you get into a point where you're pretty tight at 21 players maybe that you have on your roster. If guys don't get hurt for 10 games or 24 days, which is what you can put on long-term injury, then how would you replace them? You don't have any cap room. And there's a number of teams that are going to find themselves in this spot. I think we'll see more teams carrying less than 23, the allotted 23 players. And I think Toronto will be one of them. So health in a game where it's really hard to stay healthy is going to be pretty important for teams.
Ray, you just mentioned Toronto, and the big question going online is, can a team win the Stanley Cup with three guys making...
Four guys, basically. Three guys at 11, but if you include
Four guys Nylander. Making half your cap.
Okay. Whatever the number. What do you want to say? Four making 10 or three making 11? Yep. What do you want?
Whatever. Well, it doesn't matter. Four at half the cap.
Anyway, yeah, St. Louis had nothing like that. Can a team win the cup with guys making that much money?
I think you can. I don't think you can rule out that they can't, because what I do believe is going to happen is if you have these guys locked up as you do, the cast around them is going to become a rotating cast of characters year to year. The days of being able to supplement your top end big boys like that with a stable year to year group of players is gone. You're going to need to find 4 to 5 guys that make under $1 million that are effective players, and they have you win because your top guys are great, but these under $1 million guys give you real bang for your buck. Then at the end of the year, you can't afford them anymore and they leave, and then you go and find 4 more guys. Like I think that's the only way it can be done.
Bunch of Tyler Ennis is floating around and just in and out.
Yeah. And you hope you get the year that springboards him to something better for him. Like, you hope you get the year that he catches lightning a little bit in the bottle and he gets you 15, 17 goals. And then you're like, well, we can't pay that guy. Like, what are they going to do? Look at their blue line. Outside of Morgan Riley, I don't think anybody signed for next year.
No, they're not. Yeah. They're all unsigned. They've got a couple RFAs, but...
Yeah,
right, young so kids. Now you're gonna pump in these kids, and they're going to have to play, and they better be good, or else you got a problem. And then you're going to have, you know, Tyson Berry's going to be a free agent if he gets 55 points or 50 points, whatever. Like, he's gone. Like, how are you going to pay him? And those are going to be some of the decisions that really good teams are going to have. Like, okay, this is our group today, and then you're working through it during the season, and hopefully you have a great year, and you get enough contributions below your big boys to push you into the playoffs and deeper into the playoffs, and then you make a bunch of decisions at the end of the year. Which guys can we keep? Who can we afford? And then we're going to go fishing for the other guys.
Ray, before we let you go, just ask Hayes what's on my forehead.
That's a big forehead. What do you got on there?
It's a massive forehead. He just won the $100 that he lost to me last week. He's acting acting as if you're up like $2,500.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, you lose next week, I will just attack.
I feel very good about the Bears. We're betting on every Monday night game, and he lost week one, I lost last night. Really not that big of a deal.
Even though Brian was playing head games trying to talk him out of going into...
You almost did, too. I was like...
Well, he got to pick last night, so naturally he took the Browns. I'm watching the Jets. They're on a third-string quarterback. I'm like, I'm Kramer, just trying to get him over the line. Like,
I'll tell you what, Jets and Miami, worst teams of life.
Awful.
When do they play? That's got to be coming up
Who
soon.
Cares?
They play twice. They got to play each other twice.
That's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, you got to watch it to see how bad it is. Just to see how bad it is. Yeah. You've got to do it.
Just think, Patrick Laine throws a grenade into the middle of the locker room with his comments. How about Miami? They lose week one and half the team wants to be traded.
I'm out of here. Please, I'm dying after one game.
Trade me anywhere, just not here.
Right. TSN 4 tonight at 5:30. Leafs Sens out in St. John's. Enjoy it, buddy. We'll do it again early next week.
You betcha. Hope you tune in. We might have a picture of Owen with the wedding. You know, we might have a little something to share.
Sounds good,
bud. I look forward to that.
So, yeah, congratulations, Owen. I assume you got through and your speech was intact and smooth. And
no, that was garbage.
It's all good. We had a good night. It was a fun night.
Yeah, that's the best part about a wedding. Great. Congratulations, you guys. We had a good time.
We had a good time. Thank you for paying for it. See you later.
Thanks. We're out of here. I gotta go.
See you, buddy.
Later, boys.
There's Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com. What was the biggest story of the past 48 hours in the NFL? We'll get into it next. All right, Joe Bowen coming up in about 15 minutes from St. John's ahead of the Maple Leafs' first preseason game tonight. And the lineups are going to be split. Half the team will play tonight, half the team will play tomorrow night. Same thing applying with Ottawa. They're in Ottawa tomorrow. And, you know, no one's excited for the games, but there's always intrigue in terms of seeing guys play that you haven't seen before.
Yeah. I've had a bunch of different training camps. I don't know, Jamie, like, didn't you have some smaller ones where it was like, okay, this is the team?
Yeah.
We don't want to see Joe Blow from the Windsor Spitfires play practices.
You're seeing teams get down to their team pretty quickly. Yeah. But
I've actually had a training camp where they started with the team. That's it. But you're not coming in here and saying, oh, you know, I can do this or that.
That's old school. Like, they play a lot of preseason games now.
No, we had that, yeah. Like, the Leafs can't do that. They've got 8 preseason games. They can't do that. They've got to keep a lot of bodies around.
I get
plus,
it.
Their
I've
minor league team is a block away, technically, or less than, or a little bit more, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
In Minnesota in expansion, we went from, like, 63 people to 24 in 2 days. Jacques Lemaire was like, get everyone out of here. I need to teach this team how to play. Like, that's what he even said. He's like, guys, we need to work together because we're going to get killed every night if we don't. A little different because that was starting an organization again. But I don't mind getting down to reasonable numbers. And then you're going to see some battles. We talked about it yesterday. Neuwirth not on the ice, you know, like having a tough time to make that team if you can't make an impression.
Like, is it offensive if you draft a guy and say, you know what, don't come to camp this year, maybe next year? Like, I don't know.
Well, if it's a kid that knows
every
they're going
year
back to the
you see
CHL,
guys skating around, you're like, you're not even ready for the East Coast League, not even the NHL.
I think they like the idea of give him a couple of days around Matthews.
Did you Navarro ever get a sniff?
No. What do you mean a sniff of the NHL?
No. Like, did anyone say maybe an invite?
There were some scouts that jotted my name down. There were a couple of big nights.
Well, you got 4 points. Did you have 4 points?
That was
no.
Total. That wasn't in
a. Yeah, I didn't have in a game. Maybe in a preseason game. Probably in a preseason game.
Did one scout ever reach out to you and say,
yes,
hey, what's up?
Absolutely.
Who?
A Carolina scout back in the day. They were a garbage organization. Joe Bowen will join us
next.
He
never called you.
He did. Yeah. I'm telling you. We'll go to St. John's again next.